Hello, creative people. Welcome to Creative Conversations. My name is Hollis Citron, and we are so happy that you have chosen to spend this hour with us. So I am owner and founder of I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing, and I am on a mission to expand the definition of creativity beyond a pencil and a paintbrush and empower people, especially adults, to own their voice that come in so many different forms. So this space was created to talk with people with all different jobs, hobbies, and interests, and have conversations about experiences and perspectives, all centered around three questions. One, how do you define creativity? Two, how do you incorporate it into your life? And three, why do you think it's important? Then we have a free-flowing conversation, and we see where it goes. So I have had the opportunity to talk to musicians, Reiki masters, mediums, doctor, lawyer, real estate agents, and so many more. And these conversations explore the reality that creativity is not cute, it is necessary. People have defined creativity as their soul's essence, courage, imagination, basically all that we are and want to be. So sharing these stories expands one's thinking and opens up self-expression to feel more empowered, connected, and dare I say, happy. My inspiring guests for today are Lorna and Jacqueline. They are twin sisters, and between them, they have over 40 years' experience working with children and their families. They share a passion for supporting all children to reach their fullest potential by harnessing their unique and special gifts. They have combined their knowledge, skills, and expertise to create this special library of mindset books for parents and a coaching curriculum for teachers to share. Lorna and Jacqueline, welcome to the space. Okay, so Lorna, this is you, right?
Yep, this is me.
Yay! So happy that you're here.
I'm really happy to be here.
So happy that you're here. So we're not sure where Jacqueline is.
No, the twin telepathy is not working at the moment.
Well, in the meantime, we can get started.
Yeah.
And after reading your bio, so tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, yeah, I am one half of Lord and Jack, Pursuit of Wisdom Coaching. But my background is that I'm a mom. I'm an occupational therapist with children, and I'm also a coach, and author of our coaching library. So I live in Scotland, as you might have guessed from the accent. Mm-hmm. I'm really, really excited to be on the call.
And so happy that you are. And let's see, Jacqueline, is this you?
Yep. Hello there.
Hello. Welcome to the space. So happy that you're here.
Thank you so very much.
Yeah. So we heard a little bit about Lorna. So Jacqueline, let's hear a little bit more about you.
Okay. Well, I'm a mum to two girls, a teacher of 22 years, and have a mini zoo. We have lots of pets, and that takes up a lot of my time as well. Work the other half of the dream team with Lorna at Pursuit of Wisdom Coaching, and very passionate about writing stories and connecting with people, with families, and supporting them.
Wonderful. So this is so amazing. I love it. It doesn't happen very often that I actually have two guests. So what we'll do is, so we don't talk over each other, I guess what I'll do is I'll just say your name to kind of, and if somebody else has something to say, then please just kind of jump in. Because it's a conversation. I see this as a conversation. We're sitting around a table, having a virtual table, having a conversation. And whenever the thought happens, we just say it when we need to, so we don't forget it.
Great.
So glad you're here. And to the people listening live, welcome. You can participate in the conversation by typing in any questions or comments in the chat box. And we are so happy to have you here. So I am going to start off with a would you rather question for each of you to answer. And then we'll dive into the beginning of our three questions. So are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Would you rather, we'll start with Lorna. Would you rather be completely invisible for one day or be able to fly for one day?
Oh, definitely be able to fly. That's been a long, long dream of mine. I think being able to fly would be, I suppose both offer you some freedom that you don't obviously have, being visible to everybody and not having wings, but certainly being able to fly would be, I just think that would be wonderful to just be free up in the air and looking down on the world. Yeah.
Do you have those flying dreams?
Do you know, I don't have flying dreams. That's one thing I don't have. No,
I don't either.
Do you not? No, I've never had that. But I just think, I suppose it's just something that's, you know, not accessible to you unless you're in a an aeroplane or helicopter. So I think it just would be great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And how about you, Jacqueline?
Yes, I think I would have to go with the being able to fly. I think that would be quite magical.
Yeah, my husband has these flying dreams often, and I've never had a flying dream. I've had those falling dreams. You know those ones right before you're falling asleep?
Yeah. Although I do a lovely meditation, and it's all about being on a magic carpet.
Oh.
And that's very relaxing, and you can, like, you can choose whether you want to be, it's during the day or during the night. Mm-hmm. And I switch up each time, I imagine, differently over different places, so I do quite like that. But no, I've never had a dream of flying. Maybe I will tonight.
No, that's pretty cool, though, the whole magic carpet meditation.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, I'm going to try that. I appreciate that. Okay, so let's dive in, and we're going to start with the first question, and we'll start with Jacqueline this time. So how do you define creativity?
Well, for me, being creative is the freedom to express yourself and how you're feeling in that moment in any way. So for me personally, I love to show my creativity through writing, obviously, but also sometimes, to some people's horror, through the medium of song. and dance, you know, if the moment takes me. But I also think it's about trying out different things and not being, like, scared to give it a go. So, you know, maybe just seeing, like, something like painting, like just having a go at that, needle felting, drawing. You know, sometimes I just love to get, like, a sketch pad and just, like, doodle away. And it's just a lovely, I couldn't imagine my life without having elements of creativity in it. Mm. I think it's a great way just to connect to how you're feeling. And even just kind of, like, sometimes, like, you might have, like, a little dreaming session where I would just doodle on a big A3 pad of paper, and it's like all these different ideas just come out of you. Whereas if you were to sit and say, I don't know, maybe try and get that out of you in a different way, like typing it or even writing it, it just wouldn't come out in the same way. Mm-hmm. But I think it's about how you feel in the moment, and there's not a one size fits all. And you don't, like, necessarily have to stick with, like, one thing. I think it's about being flexible and just trying as many different avenues as you like, and not being scared to try.
Yeah, thank you. How about you, Lorna?
Yeah, I think that was a good definition, Jack. For me, I'm I love creativity. I love I'm addicted to, like, makeover shows, like houses, you know, furniture, beauty, well-being, anything. If there's something like a before and after to show the transformation, I'm there. And I think that kind of probably speaks really well to why I love my, my first career as an occupational therapist, and then now as coach, because of that beauty of that transformation. So, you know, quite often, you know, in occupational therapy, we kind of talk about the sort of where science and art meet, you know, and you're trying to always look for that sort of the sort of creative problem solving element, you know, where we maybe have you know, are a patient who wants to be able to achieve something, but there is maybe a limitation through illness or environment, you know, and my job is actually to, with them, look for the creative solution that's going to meet their needs. And that can be about, you know, altering and being creative and changing up the environment, about the task, and about skilling them up as a person. But I think that is just that journey that you go on, and that's why, you know, I do love that. And then I think as a coach, you are within that creative process working with somebody to kind of explore with them what they need and what can feel sometimes blocking, and really sort of really go into what is not been done before, or they've not looked at something in a particular way, or and just really kind of not being confined by what already exists or what the current situation is, but just really exploring that. And I think that does come from some intuition, you know. I think that's why it's like science and art. You've got knowledge and experience, but you also sometimes just have a lightning bolt moment where you're like, we could just do this, and they're like, yes, that's what I need to do. So that to me sums up creativity, as well as, you know, producing and having the experience of creativity through, you know, I love baking, cooking, and the sort of more traditional, I would say, kind of painting or things like that. So that's kind of how I feel, as if it's just very much in my life and what I do all the time. So it's been really actually lovely having a think about it, to know we're coming on here.
I love it. Yeah, it really is so much about the awareness, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like something is in front of you all the time, or you just do it. And then when it comes within your awareness, you're like, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I didn't realize that. It was kind of there the whole time. So interesting in both of your comments, or both of your responses. As you were talking, Lorna, I was like, when you were saying addicted to those makeover shows, in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, that totally matches up to what you do before you said it.
Yes.
It's so interesting. So words that I kind of pulled from both of you, which I thought were great, not just words, but like thought processes, or Jack said, connect with emotions, feeling into the moment. And then Lorna said before and after transformation, exploration, confined. I thought these were really interesting words, kind of addressing the word creativity. Maybe if we can go into that word confined a little bit.
Yeah.
When I say that, what does that bring up for you? Whoever wants to, let's say, Lorna, you go first.
Yeah. So I kind of think creativity is the opposite. So I think quite often when we are faced with, say, a challenge, or I'm thinking of, you know, let's just make it super simple. You know, like I've got a patient who wants to go to a particular school, and the school has steps and they use a wheelchair for mobility. So suddenly there is a kind of problem. There's something's blocked off to them. It's not available to them. How can we get around this? And obviously, you know, we've come up with ramps now, but you'd never, you know, if you don't focus on the person, you're not going to get the solutions. But if you actually focus on the environment and have a look, like, how can we, what is possible, and sort of try and pull away from what's actually there in front of us, because that's not going to really be where we find the solution. It's about looking for alternatives and looking around and just looking at the problem from a different point of view. So I think the confinement is almost probably the thing I shy away from. You know, I'm kind of one of these people who love new things. You know, I love novelty. It doesn't, you know, change like that doesn't bother me. I get excited about it. And I think that's useful in my job, because sometimes we, you know, it's nice to have the habit and the ritual and the things that we know. But when we're really reaching for new ideas and looking at things in a different way, we want to kind of like be comfortable with coming out of what feels confinement to me, I suppose I'm saying, is feeling like what we know and what feels like a hard line. And actually creativity allows you to kind of challenge all that and say, well, what if it wasn't like that? Or what if we did it this way? You know, and maybe put, you know, push the boundaries a little bit about what we currently accept and do. So I think that's what it stirs in me. I don't know about you, Jack.
Ooh, so rich. Yes, let's hear from you, Jack.
No, I like that because I just kind of thinking about, we obviously work, both of us work with children. Sometimes the fact that children haven't got as many barriers, you know, they don't go straight away to the how will we do it. They'll go into the more the curiosity. And I think that's what we are always trying to foster in them. Especially when you look at very young children, they come up with lots of different strategies and like problem solving without you having to provoke it. But as children get slightly older, it's almost like there's that kind of like that confinement, I suppose, of what's accepted, how we do things around here, you know, maybe values of the family, values of school. It kind of all gets a little bit ingrained into them. And you can see that they become less confident with trying something different, trying something new, being the first one to come up with an idea. So I think it's always about letting adults and children know that just because something's been done one way in the past doesn't mean it's the right way. It's a bit like, you know, do what you can with what you know, but when you know something else, then it can be a different way. And I think, you know, that there's a car company in our local town, and every year they run a car design competition for children. And I think it's genius because children are solving problems for them that they don't even know exist. And the things that they come up with, I bet no adult would ever, ever, ever think of them. But for the children, it's just like, you know, their imagination is limitless. And somehow, you know, if when you look at like adults, if they're quite closed off to their own creativity or things that they just loved doing when they were 8 years old, you think, you kind of like thinking, when did that happen? When did they stop becoming so curious and being so imaginative? When did they become confined by life and disconnect?
Gosh, I love it. Oh my gosh. So first of all, I am so inspired by this car company. So is this like a thing that they do where, do they make a big thing out of this where they put up the ideas of what the kids have?
No, they don't even label it. It's open-ended. Mm-hmm. And it's really smart, I think, because I just think, like, for the school system as well, when you're in that, it just needs to evolve. You know, we're not trying to create like children as if like they're moving through a factory. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what problems will come about. You know, look at the impact of COVID. Nobody'd heard of COVID. Nobody knew how to solve it. So it took people to think outside the box. It took them to be creative. It took them to collaborate. You know, ego has to go out of it because you're solving a worldwide problem. You know, there's difficulties with climate change. The children now are going to be the people who are making decisions in the future. And I think it's really important that we equip them to know that that creativity is going to probably be their strongest, not to say weapon, but ally, because they're going to have to solve things that we can't even imagine, and do so with conviction and confidence, and the ability to think, "I'm just, you know, we're going to give it a go. We're going to try it." You know, the brave people who first put forward like the COVID vaccine. You know, they were like trying to create something that didn't exist yet, and having to negotiate, collaborate, you know, bend their ideas, be flexible in their thinking, have those kind of like, what if we did this? Well, what if we did that? Conversations. And I think we maybe like, I think, you know, like in education systems that maybe the arts and creativity haven't been as encouraged in the past, but I do think that is changing. You know, the promotion of like STEM, so science, technology, engineering, math, and art, and then we'll change it to STEAM. They're actually recognizing that the workforce of the future has to have these innate skills. They have to allow them to develop and flourish.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so beautifully said. I love negotiate, collaborate, be flexible. Yeah, it's being taught more, like you said, through STEAM. There's courses in college for it now. It's becoming more well known that this is how people need to exist moving forward. There has to be more collaboration. There has to be better communication, flexibility, all this kind of thinking in order to move forward.
Absolutely.
So beautiful. So I want to dive more into what you guys do, but let's just, if you could just tell people more specifically, we know that Lorna does, she's a physical therapist, correct? Or occupational therapist.
Yeah. Occupational therapist.
Yeah. And Jack, what do you do in the school system?
I'm a primary school teacher. So I teach like 5 to 12-year-olds, and it's the full like curriculum.
Wonderful. Thank you. So let's get into more about, I love what you are putting out through your company. So if you could tell people more about, tell them the name of your company, what I really appreciate, and we're going to dive more into it, is these books and these workbooks and these programs that you are creating. I'm going to say with the books and the workbooks, love how you are, again, promoting problem solving. It's that I love how you said in this one component on your website, you know, when your kids blurt out that issue that they're having right before they go to sleep.
there.
Totally understand that. It's just like, oh, my. Giggling. Oh, my gosh. So then there's that conversation, but it's us always trying to want to solve it for them. And what you ladies are promoting is self-empowering them. So if you could speak to that, I would love to hear more.
Are you wanting to chat, Lorna?
Yeah, I'll have a go. Yeah, so I think that's a point, Hollis, that kind of that time of night where you've done the bath, you've tucked them in, you've done the story, and you're thinking that's me, and then they say, "Mom." Yes, and they're like, just something, and then it's like a big thing, you know. It's a big problem, and they've waited because obviously they're waiting for that safe space in the last minute that they've got your attention to tell you. You know, they've plucked up the courage. So again, yeah, absolutely. Your kind of gut instinct, motherling instinct, is just to try and solve it, make it better, and of course that's part of it. But really, what we're trying to do is to give parents the sort of the language, the tools, the strategy, techniques, so that they do feel like, yes, I know how to help my child, not to solve it for them, but I know how to lead in these conversations. I know how to, you know, probe and ask questions and reflect with them and experiment with ideas, so that they start tuning in and developing their own inner wisdom. So that, yes, you know, eventually, if you think that kind of journey to adulthood, you do want to have raised balanced, curious, creative individuals who, you know, have their confidence and have all those critical thinking skills. So we know that we can't do it for them, because that's not how you gain these skills. And we know that you do have to, you know, you do have to feel the feels, you do have to feel the pain and the emotions of uncomfortable situations to grow. But you don't, you know, as a young child and a growing into a teen and adult, you know, you're not equipped with everything you need to know. And what we felt very strongly was we wanted to have a way that parents did have something to fall back on and did sort of have the ability to be able to explain and help their child. So that's how the sort of storybooks, which is the kind of first two steps of our wisdom process, and then the workbooks are the remaining four steps, came about. Because Jack and I just love, we will love books, we love stories, we always have, and we love writing stories together. So we kind of thought, well, why not write, you know, like a kind of, like Aesop's Fables, but, you know, good stories that actually children love anyway. So you're not preaching or lecturing, but you are kind of planting seeds of ideas through a story. that will stay with us. You know, we've got lots of stories, haven't we, that are our kind of, you know, lead us through life, you know, cautionary tales and moral stories and other lovely stories. So, you know, stories stay with you. And we wanted to give that to give these tools to parents. So that's the kind of concept of it, really.
And we just also thought, like, reading a story is just quite a normal family routine, so it doesn't feel too strange or different. And if you just even wanted to open up, like, start a conversation around maybe something you felt as a parent that your child was having a difficulty with, but you didn't know how to start the conversation, by reading the book together, because it kind of puts it into, like, the third person, because you're talking about a character now, rather than them, it allows them to be a little bit more reflective and insightful, and it doesn't ever make it too personal too soon.
So, like, some of these, so an example of a storybook theme is one that is like, I can't.
Yes.
And in a workbook, there's also a theme of, like, trying new things.
Yeah.
So what age range would you say that this applies to?
Well, the storybooks, we say like 5 to 95, because everyone loves a good story. And actually, having read the stories out loud to children and having adults of many different age groups nearby, everyone has benefited from it. So the storybooks, we'd say kind of, we do have like a wise for my size range. So that is really based for like 5 to sort of 12-year-olds. And the wisdom workbooks, because they've got the next four steps of the wisdom process, which is experiment, explore, prepare, and
plan.
Thank you. we'd say that's more for sort of like your 7 to 12-year-olds, because the first two steps is share and reflect. So it's sharing the story together and reflecting on what maybe that stirred up for you. So there's some nice reflective questions just to kind of gently guide a conversation. It's not like a kind of interview or a grilling. It's just, you know, some nice questions that would give you an opening into having, like, your child's ideas about it, things that they've that story brought up for them. And so the workbooks are maybe more for slightly older children, and they're not just workbooks, not just worksheets, it's activities, games, things that you can do together maybe as a family. So, for example, I think, Lorna, you'd played the comfort zone game with one family via like a coaching session in Zoom, and then they actually chose to play it with their extended family at another time during, like, you know, a lockdown Zoom Friday night in kind of session. So it doesn't feel like school, or it doesn't feel like lecturing or nagging. It's more about getting them to dig a little deeper inside to think about how they would feel about things. And the reason we have quite the element of experiment is that not all tools and strategies will suit all children or the situation at all times. So it's about trying things on. And we can, like, say it's a bit like going into the dressing room and just trying stuff on. You think, I quite like the look of that. But when you put it on, you're like, not quite the right fit for me. And that's okay. It's like that kind of, there's no kind of right or wrong answer. It's whatever feels most comfortable for you and your family.
What I think is pretty brilliant about all of it is that it's all very experiential, and love what you're saying about that it's not lecturing and it's not nagging, and because nobody wants to hear that. No kid wants to hear that. No adult wants to hear that. They're just like, leave me alone. And they totally tune you out.
Yeah, absolutely.
But all that you're doing is, so you have the books, you have the workbooks, and then all of the coaching. I picked out one aspect, but you could tell us more, please, like the coaching for moms to get more organized.
Yes.
So amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've kind of noticed is that, you know, very caring parents and mums will absolutely reach out for support for their child when they see them struggling, or they want them to kind of better themselves and have that kind of edge and develop those emotional intelligence skills. But quite often on the on that journey, and as we were saying, the storybooks are 9 to 95, because when we're working with parents,
and their children, you know, the mom's sort of picking up that maybe some of those things actually apply to her. So, you know, if we think about the I Can't book, I Can't Harry, it's all about self-talk. So obviously that's not a particular, you know, that's to all of us. You know, that's not just a child thing, and it doesn't stop when you reach adulthood. It actually carries on, and it can be much louder actually. With confidence and just dealing with worry and anxiety and coming at your comfort zone and limiting beliefs. So what we found is that often mums will sort of say, this is actually really helping me, or I've actually realized that some of the difficulty I'm having in supporting my own child with their worries is that I actually haven't got good tools and strategies for myself. So it's maybe something that they've not actually dealt with, you know, and so they're seeing it played out with their children, often, you know, reaching out for help because they don't want a cycle, a generational cycle to complete. You know, they've seen, they know how hard it has been for them to go through life with maybe the anxiety or limiting beliefs or feeling really shy or not wanting to try new things, and they see it repeating in their child. But what they've reflected on themselves is that they don't have the tools and strategies themselves. So absolutely they can benefit from the storybooks and workbooks and working it with their child. But if they wanted coaching in their own right, we also offer that as well.
Thank you. Lorna, do you have anything to add to that?
Just that I think, like, the pursuit of wisdom is that it's not, I've got an age limit on it. It's not like you become a certain age and you go, yep, you're now wise enough. Well done. You've graduated. So there's always things you can be improving for yourself. And, you know, even like looking at, we were laughing the other day, we had to do something for the business, and we're like, oh, we should really just read In Tombi's Path, because what's wrong is we're looking inside our comfort zone and wondering why we can't solve the problem. We just need to make a little bridge from where we are now to where we want to be. So it's, you know, it's not saying that, well, we've got all the answers, we've reached our destination, we're still journeying along with everyone as well. And you know, I think coaching is becoming more kind of like mainstream and understood, that like what a sports coach can do for you, a life coach can as well. Any aspect of your life can be enhanced and for the better, for you, to make you happier. And it's also all, it can all come from inside of yourself. You do know the answers. It's unearthing it. Or seeing a different pathway, a different way of thinking around something.
Yeah, it is all, I mean, the older I get and the more people I speak to and the more I understand, it's all inside. We have the answers inside. We're constantly looking for the affirmation and things on the outside. And not that we know everything, but we know, we have an inner wisdom, but we're so often not tuned into it.
Exactly. It's like the rest of the world's too noisy, or maybe, as like Lorna was saying with the self-talk, perhaps that critical voice is just too loud.
Yeah.
Your inner knowing can't be heard, or you haven't relied on it sufficiently to trust it yet.
Yes, that's it.
Being it's like a little bit more comfortable with being, you know, like leaning into yourself and thinking, I've got this, rather than thinking, well, somebody else will come along with the right answer for me.
Yeah. And it's so important to all that you're providing for kids and adults, all of this through what you show in the books and the workbooks, so important. And I love the fact that you're also supporting the parents along the way, because we so need the skills. I personally was never a parent. I never read the books. Like, you know, they'd say, read the books. I'm like, I don't read the books. I just kind of like dive in. I read one book when it was like the whole pregnancy thing, which was Your Girlfriend's Guide to Pregnancy, which did you read that one?
I've not read that one.
No, I've not read that one.
It's just funny. It's just kind of saying like, it's going to hurt. and this is what's going to happen. It's very black and white, very clear. Obviously it's different for different people, but it was just very clear. It had a sense of humor about it and I could relate to it. But when it comes to these circumstances in life in raising our kids, like they always say, there's not a rule book. They're so different. Whether you have one child or whether you have five children in the house, whatever, they're not the same.
No, and they shouldn't. They're unique in themselves. It's like the biggest gift in the world is you, because there'll never be another you. So it's allowing people to realize that they matter and their contribution matters.
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
Like, sitting on the sidelines isn't, you know, the best use of your talents.
Exactly. It's so funny because my sometimes, you know, something will happen with one of my kids and there's like a pause and they're like waiting for a response. And I'm like, I just have to kind of process this because I'm not exactly sure how to respond. So I'll be back in a minute kind of thing.
Yes. A little breathing time is it.
Yeah. At one point, my son said something and he's like, what are you going to say? I'm like, just give me 5 minutes. Seriously, give me 5 minutes. Let me synthesize the information and then we'll talk. Oh my gosh, this is so wonderful. Okay, so I want to get to the second question because I know we could just go on and on. And I want to hear more about you two as individuals, which is the second question, which you guys kind of touched on some, but maybe we can dive a little deeper. So Lorna, starting with you, how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Yeah, well, as I say, I kind of find when I was kind of thinking about this, I was kind of thinking, is it out of my life? As I say, just because I think the way I work and the way, you know, that just that sort of tapping into how I see creativity, I just feel as if, yeah, I am very solution focused. You know, and looking at things from different perspectives. Obviously, you know, I have my daily kind of catch up with my home makeovers and my furniture restoring and my programs like that. So that definitely features. And then I've got a little, I suppose it's just noticing that that's one of my kind of foundational aspects of my kind of keeping myself okay. So if I'm feeling that sort of needing a bit of replenishment, or I'm just feeling like, oh, you want to spark some creativity in yourself, it's good to, you know, almost have that mindfulness of creating, you know, doing something. I've got a kind of little area in my living room. So I'm still with the family, but I've got a range of little crafts that I've got, all different, you know, needle felting or the sequined art or something. But what I kind of find is it kind of lets you go into a place where you're kind of consumed by what you're doing, but that's almost allowing, you know, ideas to flow or a solution to come. So I would say it's just at every, I would say in every aspect of what I do, I journal of a morning. We've both, you know, done the sort of morning pages from Julia Cameron's Artist's Way. Both Jack and I do that, and we do the kind of, you know, the sort of morning pages every morning, which again really helps tap into your kind of creativity and your ideas. So yeah, I just feel as if it's just really being creative is just kind of part of just how, I think, how I process a lot of information and find solutions for problems or challenges or opportunities I want to explore.
Yeah, I really like how you pointed out too how you have your own section where you have like your craft section, and it's almost like as you keep your hands busy and you kind of get into that flow state, it kind of clears your mind, right? To allow for those downloads.
And that's my daughter and I are very alike. So even if we're having like movie night with a family, we will both find something to do with our hands. Whereas my husband and my son sit and watch the movie and they kind of go, I mean, can you not just sit and watch the movie? And we're like, we are.
Right.
You know, and as she gets older, she's 11 now, I'm like, God, you're so like me. But that's what it is. It's like, I am watching the movie, but really, I'm either doing a jigsaw or I'm doing some kind of
So yeah, some sort of creativity. I'm not just sitting watching, but then I'm kind of like getting ideas coming. Yeah, so I do think there's a kind of mindful act to it that really grosses you.
Yeah, well, there's actually proven studies, which I can't quote exactly what the percentages and whatever are, but there's a, it's been proven that like with doodling, which is kind of like what I see with you saying with your hands moving as you're listening to something, like if someone were to be speaking or watching a movie, it's a way of processing information clearer. Some people do this in order to, like, if I'm going to say if somebody's doodling, it doesn't mean that they're not listening. It means that they're actually processing the information better because that's how their body, they need to be more kinesthetic.
Absolutely. And, you know, I can, I can help explain and really challenge perceptions on that, because obviously many of the children I work with are neurodiverse. And of course, you know, parents and teachers like children to be sitting and listening and looking, because that's one of our, you know, things. If you're looking and you're looking at me, you're listening to me. Whereas, you know, just really challenging that and seeing actually, as you say, that kinesthetic learning and being able to be active with your hands is so important. And that's actually helping them listen. You know, if they stopped doing, they wouldn't be listening. So I think that is a really good example. and I can be very sympathetic about it.
Thank you. I completely forgot that I had more of like an expert in the house that could speak to this. So thank you very much.
No, not at all.
So, Jack, let's hear from you. So how do you incorporate creativity into your own life?
Well, I always say that I enjoyed playing so much that I just never left school because I love aspects of my job, that the fact that you can, you know, still go and play on the beach and play in the woods and, you know, play games for PE and things like that. So I do think having, like, you know, that you can grow up and you stop playing, is actually, that's why you're growing up, because you lose that playful side of you. And I think being like in touch with that is how I enjoy that, because then you can really relate to children. Like, you just get what they're feeling. So I do think I do, like, so for even like lessons, or for example, I'd always try and find like a way to come in that involves playing. It doesn't always, like, you know, doesn't always necessarily look like maths. You know, they're doing things and it doesn't feel mathsy. Or even like with writing, like starting with senses, starting with something and feel, and just imagine, like, where did this object come from? Who had it? Why did they lose it? You know, where were they going? And just starting off with a creative side to things, rather than just saying, today we're going to write a magic story about a dragon. You know, like, if I produce something that looked, could be a dragon's egg, for example, but the children will have other ideas of what that could be. Mm-hmm. And like allowing it to be child-led. So obviously we play games a lot with kids as well, but like coming up with ideas for games I think is important. I personally enjoy writing, and I try and write every day. And as Lorna said, I'll journal, but I also write stories. And I also quite like to illustrate. I don't mean I would illustrate an actual book, but I mean I would illustrate maybe what I think characters look like, or what the, like, their surroundings might be. That really helps me to connect. I love trying things out. So I do love my needle felting. And again, I hadn't started that till about maybe 3 years ago. I just went along to a class that someone was running locally, and I was like, oh, I love this. I've tried painting. I think maybe more acrylics are my thing, rather than watercolours. I think also I really love singing. Mm-hmm. So I'll sing away in the car, and I joined a choir, but it's all kind of like rock music and things like that, and pop ballads, lots of 80s fun. So that's good. So I think also connecting with nature is very important to me as part of my creativity. I sometimes just feel like if I'm not feeling okay, I think I actually just need to go outside and just walk. And that's important to me. That's when, like, ideas will come. You know, I think you see some people and they go for a walk and they've got, like, their headphones on and whatever, like, listening to music or an audiobook. And I do think that's nice. But also sometimes if you just have nothing to listen to, you actually, that's when you can tune into your inner thoughts and your inner wisdom, and little ideas just start bubbling up. So I do now have actually an app on my phone, a dictaphone, because quite often when I'm out for a walk and I'm just like, my mind's wandering around and I'm looking at the water, that's when like little flashes of inspiration will just come. And the dictaphone app's great because you can just record your voice and then you know, you don't lose anything. Yeah. So being in nature is very important to me as a creative element in my life. I like to walk every day.
Are you in more countryside? Or are you in the city?
No, we're very, very lucky. We actually live sort of like 10 minutes away from Loch Lomond, but like a drive. But in terms of like just coming out of like the front door, I can walk to woodland. I can walk to a beautiful reservoir. I was up there this morning. I can walk. I could walk into the local town if I wanted to, but we've got beautiful country parks nearby, so we are very, very blessed with where we live. It is lovely.
So wonderful. So I want to put out as a reminder to the listeners, amazing suggestion there, the on your phone, talk into it when you get that inspiration, because I could not agree more. Walking in nature, it's funny because my husband recently discovered these trails that we're in the suburbs, but there are stores and things around, and we're close to Philadelphia, a city which is 10, 15 minutes away. But there are all these trails and nature hikes, like really literally down the street that we didn't know about, that my husband recently discovered and then introduced me and my son to it have found these other places. And I am not the biggest of nature girls. I don't like snakes. So I kind of have that stuck in my head. So it kind of takes the relaxation out of walking on these paths thinking that I'm going to step on something. Yeah. But I've learned as we found more trails and finding more trails where I personally feel more comfortable, like ones that are aren't as overgrown and things like that, that I can navigate through. It is listening to nature. Mm-hmm. And if there's water babbling by or the birds and the cicadas, and it's like an orchestra.
It's lovely. I do think I know people think, oh, I could put my headphones in and I could listen to this, or I could catch up with this, or I could, you know, listen to my new audiobook. But I think there is something about unplugging.
Yes.
That's very important, that does connect you back to your creative self.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think as we've kind of been talking about, it's kind of going around full circle to what you ladies are doing, is that whole, you're bringing about the inner knowing within children. You're wanting to plant that seed of inner knowing and then being able to go through the emotions and potentially the ickiness or problem solving and all of that in order to be better problem solvers. And I think for an example of walking through nature, you have to be able to walk through without distractions to get to know yourself and listen to your thoughts or push them away or be aware of what's around you. We can't have these distractions.
You know, like I think in like nature itself gives you like a natural challenge that you do have to navigate. You do have to problem solve. You do have to think, you know, is that a safe thing to stand on or is it not? So I think in terms of creating like curiosity, what's possible, what am I capable of? Nature actually delivers that very nicely.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Luckily, we don't have the snakes to worry about, Holly.
Are there no snakes out there?
Well, no, we've got, you know, the haggis and the Loch Ness monster, but we don't have snakes. We do have adders, that's not true. We do have adders, but I think they'd be more scared of us than we would of them. I've hiked many a time and I've not come across an adder, so.
What is an adder?
A snake.
Oh, that's a snake. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'd have that kind of snake in this.
Okay. See, one time when we were walking through this, our son, I felt so bad. He was so excited to take us to this one trail that he found. And as soon as we're about to go in, and I shouldn't be focusing on this topic, but there was a big sign saying, beware of rattlesnakes. I was like, seriously? Seriously?
So,
as we were walking, he's just like, "You're so not relaxing." I'm like, "I am sorry. I'm trying. I'm really trying." Anyway, so as we are getting to the top of the hour, I want to get to the third question, which is, it's kind of like summing everything up of everything we've touched on, but we'll start with Lorna. Why do you think creativity is important?
I think it's important because it allows you to, I suppose it gives you that freedom to experiment and try things and explore. Not with, you know, it's not a perfection, it's not getting it right, it's just that kind of being able to, yeah, to move past what you currently know and do something different. So I think it's got a real life affirming part to it. And, you know, and I've worked with many, many people who have, you know, have lost abilities through physical difficulties, and, you know, and we kind of look at a person and look at kind of what makes you sort of almost human, what are you trying to get back to, and most of the, you know, majority of the time they're looking to get back to their hobbies, their, you know, the passions, the joys. That's what people want, you know, it's so life affirming to be able to do the things that you that bring you joy, and I would say, you know, that is creativity, and however you express that as yourself. I also think it connects you with, as we've said, possibilities and just exploration. And if we think, you know, change is inevitable, having a strong muscle that you practice, that you look, you know, you just go for it, you try something, you're maybe brave on the canvas, you practice those things, that then can translate to life. You know you're capable of that. You know you tried that, you didn't like it, but you know now, you know, you're more discerning about what you like and what you don't like. You find out more about yourself as a person, and that's, again, really, really important in your kind of if you like about who you are. So I just feel anytime I'm creative, it brings positivity into my life, and so who doesn't need that? So I would say that's why I think it's important.
I want to say thank you for bringing out that point of people who are having issues with, they want to get back to their passions and joys because they've lost certain abilities. Yeah. And I think that's such an important point to recognize. I just wanted to acknowledge that, because it really is, I couldn't agree more that it's so much about, it all goes back to joy and happiness. I mean, that's what we want.
It really does. So, like, obviously, if it's a kind of life or death situation, you know, then obviously you want life and you get stable. But actually, life is for living. And when you really get down to it, then that's what everybody wants. They want to get back to the things that make them joyful and bring joy to their lives. And a lot of that is to do with their hobbies, interests, creativity, their passions, and that's what makes life worthwhile. And so that's why, you know, in my occupational therapy hat on, well, we would always be looking for how can we achieve that, you know, even if it's not exactly the same as it was before, how can we do that? And I think that's just speaks to that, really, that that's actually what people value in their lives. And I think from a kind of joyful part of your life, or being truly whole, you know, it gives you that kind of like zest for life, doesn't it? To express yourself in a creative way is just so important.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, Jacqueline, your turn.
Well done. Well said, Lorna. I think creativity is so important for me because we are not machines. We are human souls, and we need to express ourselves. If I don't take part in some form of creativity, I know I'm not at my best. And it doesn't have to be like a masterpiece of any sort. It just has to be an expression of me. And some things you can just make because you're just enjoying the process of it.
I'm always very inspired by my own children. They have a great zest for just trying things. You know, they'll watch somebody do something and then they'll think, yeah, I'll have a go at that. And I was really impressed with my youngest teacher. We've been clearing it recently and decorating it. And she found a box of drawings that she had obviously created a couple of years ago. And she got out her sketch pads. And I said, oh, what are you up to? She was like, do you know, I just saw this picture that I did of, I don't know, I think it was a rabbit or something she'd been drawing like a few years back. And I just wondered if I could do it any better. She had a go. So it was just that kind of feeling of like that you can evolve, that you're, you know, you can adapt and change and improve. And she was like, oh, yeah, I like that picture better. You know, I've got kind of like a different angle on it and my shading's better now. And she just, you know, it wasn't that she disliked her first picture, but it was almost like she could realise that that wasn't just like the full stop. You can keep going. And my eldest daughter was always making something, sewing something, you know, you name it. She's got art all over her walls that she just sees something and she creates. And I do love their, I mean, I don't love it all the time because, you know, I would obviously appreciate a little help around the house. But I love that, that when they have a project in mind of what they want to do, nothing gets in their way. And I think, yeah, when I grow up, I'd love to be like that as well. if this bill paying didn't get in the way, I could do that too. But I think it's like taking a leaf out of their book because they actually don't wait until all the dishes are done and the washing's hung up and the da-di-da-di-da humdrum of life is done. They're like, I've woken up today and I want to paint. So get the paints out, or I want to make something out of resin. So I'm going to try it. And I think, yeah. And so I think actually seeing how creative they are as well, I'd say like we're quite a creative household, and it's just, you know, like sometimes the three of us will just sit and paint or create. We're all maybe doing different projects, but we kind of sit around the table and the, you know, you're not even chatting necessarily. You just maybe have some music on in the background, but everyone's in their own little zone and it just has a really lovely feeling of connection through creativity.
Oh my gosh. There's so many points I want to talk to, but mostly about don't wait until the dishes are done, till the laundry's folded, all of that, because it's so true, that whole adulting thing that we get stuck on. I mean, that's why I left the classroom and I was like, okay, I've been teaching for 30 years. I want to work with adults in this whole adulting thing, because I felt like I was in that whole adulting thing and was breaking free of that. And like we've been saying, you want to get back to the joy and the happiness, and how do we do that? And like you had touched on in your last question, where Jack, where you said growing up, we grow up and we stop playing. So what you're doing is talking to this point of we take life so seriously as adults. And here, you know, we've just kind of gotten lost in the mortgage and the bills, and which all exist, but they become so consuming that we don't do those things that we really want to do because we're doing the laundry and doing the dishes. Whereas the kids, we could say you can't do that until you fold your laundry, but they just have this, they're driven.
Yeah, but also I think like they teach me that just like put the laundry down and just do it. You have half an hour of being creative. You'll feel better for it. And I do.
Yeah. So you hear that, listeners? Put the laundry down.
Put it down, step away from the dishwasher. Pick up your knitting needles or whatever the heck you've got beside you and just start.
Just do it. And like you said, that time of it is so true. When you finally carve, if it's a finally, or when you have your daily routine of carving out that time, which is really what would be a good thing to be, to put on the music and be together. And like you said, there doesn't have to be words, but it's a time to connect.
Mm, absolutely.
Which is brilliant. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we are at the top of the hour. So ladies, can you please tell everybody how they can find you?
Yes. We have a website, which is www.pursuitofwisdomcoaching.com. And we're on Facebook, and we're on Instagram, and yeah, you can contact us by email or message us, or
And we do run, I should say, although we do in-person coaching, but we also do like online sessions. Like Lorna's run the boot camp. She's running it in person for the Overwhelmed boot camp this Thursday locally, but actually that's the first time it's been local. We've actually always completed it online on Zoom. So, and we coach children online as well. So there's different ways to connect with us.
Mm. We also, we've not really mentioned that, but we've also developed our curriculum for the classroom, our coaching curriculum for the classroom. So if teachers wanted to connect, we've got coaching in the classroom group and curriculum as well.
And developing a Wise for My Size group, which you could run maybe, you know, after school, that kind of idea. And we also have, we've not mentioned this either, we've got the Phoenix Project, which is for our teenagers.
Yep.
They're kind of blossoming into adulthood and, you know, need some a little guidance.
Wonderful. So you're just getting it at everybody, all ages, all angles. And the person who just joined said, what kind of wisdom do you offer? They offer lots of wisdom for navigating through life, for kids, for young ones, teenagers, teachers, adults, in order to be able to handle emotions and navigate their way through life by strengthening their inner wisdom. So you will catch the replay that will be up in about a week or so. So before we leave, I'd like to ask you just for a quick word of wisdom to leave on, if you'd like to just say your final word of wisdom to everybody. Lorna, what would you like to share?
My final word of wisdom. I would just probably say, well, maybe if I say to the parents, let your children have their own aha moment. So that's tough on us. We have to sometimes, you know, sit on our hands, bite our tongue, let them have a little bit of discomfort, but loving them all the time, and allowing them to have their own aha moments. Allow them to know that they've got the wisdom within them, and then we can work with that. You know, they can work with that and build that confidence, that inner confidence in themselves to be able to manage life's ups and downs. So, yeah, just check in with yourself and just have a think. You know, are you solving this problem, or are you allowing them to solve this problem? I think that's my word of wisdom.
Oh my gosh. Amazing. Thank you. Jacqueline, how about you?
I think I would just like to say, like, find the little joys every day. And don't, if something makes your heart sing, don't put it off forever. Do it.
Perfect way to end. So ladies, I want to thank you so much for spending this hour with me. Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
So much fun. I feel, God, so much lighter. Always feel like so inspired after these conversations. So I so, so, so appreciate you. And I want to thank the listeners who are here live and those catching the replay. This space is all about inspiring each other, sharing stories, and connecting. So please like, follow, and share so we can uplift each other and just spread the messages and spread the word, because we've always needed this, but we especially need it in these times for more connection. So I wish you a good morning, a good afternoon, or a good evening wherever you are in this world, and we'll be talking to you soon. Goodbye, everybody.
Feeling inspired? There are so many ways to do things for you, to get yourself moving, to get your creative juices flowing, and to have fun. Check out I Am Creative and Express Yourself Publishing. Go to iamcreativephilly.com, iamcreativephilly, PHILLY.com, and check out the experiential kits. Check out Creative Shway, which is all about creative inspiration and guidance. And for Express Yourself Publishing, there's so many multi-author book opportunities. So I would love to chat with you so much. Everybody's creative. Everybody has a voice. Everybody has an expression. And I can't wait to meet you. Thank you so much for taking this hour to listen to our stories and share the energy. And I wish you a wonderful morning, afternoon, evening, wherever you are in this world. Bye, everybody.